Now we come to our 18th in this series of messages on preaching from Titus. And I want to call your attention today to Titus chapter number 1. And today I'm looking at verse number 5. Titus chapter number 1. And we'll look at verse number 5. Paul says to Titus, he said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." Our fathers, we come to you. We pray today that you would help us as we study this important message. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Titus is a young preacher, and Paul is writing to him. And at this time, Paul had left this young preacher on the island of Crete to carry out the work of the Lord. And so we want to look at that today. I want to preach on this subject, "For this cause left I thee at Crete." Now, you know, many times in our ministry, we may feel like that we want to be in the spotlight, or we want to be somewhere where everything is just going really good. But, you know, sometimes God puts us in a place that might be less desirable a place that we would rather not be. But I'm going to preach on this subject again. "For this cause left I thee in Crete." Now, there was a purpose, there was a reason for Titus being in Crete. And Crete wasn't a great place, and we're going to talk about all of that during this message today. So let's get right into it. First of all, let's just notice the place. We're talking about Crete. Now, Crete was an island in the Mediterranean, all right? This island was 145 miles wide and 35 miles long. So this island, it was a little island. Now, other men may have had greater ministries, but God wanted Titus on this island here in this place. Now, let me say, the place that God has put you is very important. God has a place for every man, all right? By the way, you will only be in God's will when you are in that place that God puts you, not the place that man puts you, okay? Today we have men that kind of get people places to minister and all that kind of thing. And by the way, if God's in that, that's good. But if God is not in that, you know, you can be doing the right thing in the wrong place. Did you know that? I know that there are those who teach, well, as long as you're spreading the gospel and as long as you're preaching, you can be in the will of God anywhere. It doesn't matter. Well, I disagree with that, friend. God puts men in certain places. Let me give you a little bit of Bible for that. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, you will find that Elijah goes down to Ahab. And Elijah tells Ahab, you know, it's not going to rain for these years. And God has a specific place for Elijah to go hide. He said, "Get thee eastward." He said, "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith." This is what he said in 1 Kings 17:4. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." Now watch this. "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, where is there? There was the specific place that God had for Elijah to serve. Now, had Elijah went anywhere else, he would have been out of the will of God. The ravens would have not been there. Now, if you want the blessing of God on your life, young preacher, young missionary, young pastor, if you want the blessing of God on your life, be in the very place that God wants you to be in. Now, if God's put you there, don't you let man move you. And if God ain't put you there, then don't you let man talk you into it. I know a lot of preachers say, well, this will help your ministry. Let me say this to you. It may help your ministry in the public eye, but it won't help it with God. The Bible said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." The secret to serving God is being exactly where God put you. So God used the Apostle Paul, who was an elder to Titus, and God used him to place Titus at Crete. "For this cause left I thee in Crete." Now, Crete may not have been a desirable place. It may not have been Titus's choice. Now, let me say this. Sometimes serving God and the place where God puts you may not be your choice. There are things I'd like to do in the ministry. God has not seen fit for me to do that. And so, you see, it depends upon God and God's will. It's all about God. So we see the place. Now, I want to go on, though, and show you some other things. All right. Now, number two, I want you to notice the planting. Let's go back in time a little bit and talk about Crete. Now, this little island, 145 mile wide, 135 mile long. Now, God had already planted the seed before Paul's people ever got there. Now, we do know that Paul visited this island on his way to Rome. We know that. But before Paul ever got there, the seed was planted on the day of Pentecost. Now, remember, on the day of Pentecost, there were devout men, the Bible said, out of every nation under the sun. I believe there was every nation under heaven. I'm going to take the Bible literally. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Amen? And so God planted the seed. They heard Peter preach the word. Acts chapter 2, verse number 11, he said, Cretes and Arabians, he said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, these men, even in the Cretes language, they heard them speak. Amen. And so they went back, somebody did, and planted the seed in Crete. And somewhere I read that Crete had maybe at least 100 cities at that time, maybe on the island of Crete or at one time, that Crete had over 100 cities. Now, remember here, Paul is telling Titus to ordain elders in every city. Now, somebody planted the seed, all right? Now, let me say this to you. I still believe today in planting seed, all right? Now, you may have, in your ministry, instant results. I am not going to argue with that. I'm not going to put you down for that. I'm just going to tell you reality is, according to the Bible. Now, think about this morning. According to the Bible, now I'll take the Bible. According to the Bible, one out of every four seeds that you sow will bear good fruit in God's work. One out of every four seeds. Amen. Now you say, how do you get that? The parable of the sower. Amen. Because he gave four different conditions of the heart. And even in that conditions of the heart, he said there's some bears 30, some 60, and some 100. So if you really want to get down to it, it's one out of every seven that'll really go 100% for God. Amen. One out of every seven people you win to God or witness to will be dedicated to God 100%. All right. That's Bible statistics. Amen. And so that's what the Bible says. Now, let me just show you this. All right. In Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 3, the Bible says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now let me say, you got to go forth. Amen. You never sow seed going backward. You got to go forward. And so in our communities, we need to sow seed. Our churches need to sow seed. Amen. I think probably we need to do more visiting than we do. Now I realize we're living in a dangerous time. We're living in a dangerous time. I pastored some 10 years ago. I was pastoring a church and started a church. And I had so many people on Thursday night visitation. It's a true fact that really our people wasn't properly trained. And I was a little nervous about some of them going out because we had so many show up, and I tried to train them, but anyway, we had our ladies visited along with our men. I'm not even 100% sure in the day and hour in America now, in the last 10 years, things have changed. I'm not sure I'd put ladies out there visiting. Our ladies went to some pretty hard places, and they told me some of the messes they got into. But let me just say this to you, that we still need to be a witness here at home. Now, I'm all for sending missionaries to the field. I think we ought to, and I think you ought to plant churches and get the gospel out across the world. I'm for that, and that's what we do, even in radio. But I believe that there ought to be some soul planting here at home. I believe there ought to be some seed sown here at home. Now, I think where many people mess up with their lost loved ones is that they start pushing them. When they get saved, they get excited, and they want everybody to have what they have, and that's great. But you've got to realize you got to sow the seed and allow that seed some time to come up. Now, I know that's not taught in some maybe soul-winning classes and things, but I'm telling you what the Bible says, amen? Now, sometimes it's instant results. Sometimes it is not. Sometimes that seed has to be planted. I've heard Dr. Bobby Robertson talk about how he'd go back and back and back to the same house and witness to somebody again. And I told our people when I pastored, I said, mark that house. And if you get a good response, go back again if the door's open to them. Now, I remember 50 years ago, along about this time of the year, my mama got saved by the grace of God. Now, when mama got saved, those men kept coming. I don't know how many weeks they came. I don't know. Now, they were trying to win my daddy, get my daddy right with God. But they ended up, my mama got saved. And I thank God that she did. Then my daddy got in years later. But let me say something to you. Amen. Planting is hard work. Sowing the seed is very hard work. It really is. But you got to go forward. Let me just give you this little outline on the sower, talking about going forth, all right? When you go forth, first of all, sow by faith, amen? Now, Titus was on this little island, 145 mile wide and 35 mile long. He was sowing by faith, amen? God had put him over there. The Apostle Paul left him there to establish order, and so he's there. But when you sow the seed, you got to sow by faith. You know that? I'm preaching by faith today that somebody's listening to me. And I tell you what, I'm sowing the seed. I believe that, amen? Then, secondly, you have to, using the O in the word forth, you have to do sow the seed where the opportunity is. Now, the opportunity may not be there always. I was reading this morning the book of Song of Solomon, and the young lady, a type of the church, she's talking about how her love come knocking on the door at night, and she didn't get out of the bed. She tarried for a while. She said, "I'll defile my feet, and I'm not going to get out of the bed." And so then her love, when she opened the door, he was gone. You see, that was a lost opportunity right there. Then she went about the city, and the watchman smote her and took away her veil. We have a lot of heartache because we fail in the opportunities that God gives us. You see, you may be a preacher, and you may say, "Well, I don't have the opportunity that man's have." All right, I agree with you. I've not had the opportunity that some preachers have had. But let me say this to you. I've not always been a good steward of the opportunities that I do have. And so I want you to understand that, amen? I am to take advantage of every opportunity that I have. And I've not done that. I have failed in the work of the Lord. I will be the first to tell you that I've failed, amen? So now, in this going forth, taking the R, regardless of conditions, we ought to sow. So, and you know, I was bad at this when I pastored a church. The devil fit me over visiting more than he did anything. And I'd try to get out of it. I'll be honest with you, the weather or whatever. But you know, I remember a man told me this, a preacher in our area, and he's in heaven now. He passed away a few years ago during the COVID pandemic thing. And this man said, he said one night, he said, "Old brother Teague Gross, Teague's in heaven now, pastored Temple Baptist Church in Mount Airy for many years." He said, "One rainy night, it was raining, and he said, Teague Gross knocked on my door and won me to Jesus Christ." And this man later became a pastor. Now, what if Brother Gross had said, "No, it's raining tonight. No, I won't go over there tonight." You know, I've done that many a time, haven't you? But we really need to sow regardless of the circumstances. The devil is always going to give you an excuse why not to sow the seed. The devil's going to say, "Oh, they won't listen to you," or "This is not the right time." And listen, the devil is all, but take advantage of your opportunities regardless of the circumstances. In the T is sow the truth. Sow the truth. What is the truth? The Bible. If you're going to sow the seed and get somebody saved, sow the Bible. Amen. Now, Titus was there to preach the word to these people on Crete. Titus wasn't there to give them a psychology lesson. Titus wasn't there to give them a bunch of statistics. Titus wasn't there to play around with them. He was there to give them the word of God. And then the H in going forward is wait on the harvest. Wait for the harvest. After you have sown, the Bible said you have need of patience. He said after you've done the will of God, you have need of patience. And so we need patience, amen, in our lives. Sometimes we get impatient. A pastor will sow the seed in the community and he gets impatient and he says, "I'm going to leave. I'm not doing a good job, so I'll find me another church and it'll be better over there." Let me tell you something. I told the Lord I was pastoring a church and it seemed like I couldn't get anything going. I was young and dumb. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to leave this church and I'm going over here another area and I'm going to start me a church over there." Well, you know what? I ended up leaving that church and several years later, God led me to that next area that I had in my mind. But let me tell you something. It wasn't all roses in that area either. Let me tell you something. Anywhere you serve the Lord, there's going to be problems. There's going to be persecution. It is not pie and peanut butter all the time. And I want you to understand that any preacher that makes it rosy to you like that. Now, wait a minute. Serving the Lord is the best thing in the world. I love what I do. I love radio. I love preaching on radio. This is my ministry. This is what God has given me. You can take 1,000 men and set them in here that God has not called and they'd make a mess out of this because this ain't their work. You give me a church running 1,000 people, I'd probably make a big mess out of it because it ain't my work. But let me tell you something. God has given me what he can trust me with and what I need to be doing. Amen. And so this is my work. Now, if God chooses to do anything different, he'll let me know. But you see, the planning was that somebody came, no doubt, from Pentecost, and they came back to the island of Crete and preached what Peter preached to these people. They planted the seed. Now, by the way, you may reap the soul winning seed. Now, my mama had heard preaching all of her life, been in church. And those men from the Maple Springs Baptist Church, they didn't have to deal with her long on that Thursday night. The only time they ever witnessed her was one time. And mama got saved. They reaped somebody else's planting years earlier. Now, the seed you plant, the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, cast thy bread upon the water. Waters, for it shall return after many days. Now, the bread you cast on the water today, it may come back tomorrow. You may not see, you preacher, you might go over there and preach, say, man, I didn't do any good. I've been on radio stations. I said, well, I didn't do any good over there. I didn't reach anybody. Wait a minute, do I know that I didn't reach anybody? There's people listening to me right now, and you would never tell anybody you're listening to the radio. You'd never tell anybody that. But you know what? You don't want anybody to know it. But I'm sowing the seed to you. Amen. I'm preaching to you. And when you preachers, when we realize the value, and we realize the work of God, and we realize that sowing the seed is not always seeing the seed, and we've got to wait for the harvest. You know, my harvest on radio will be, when I get to heaven, it'll be untelling how many people have listened to me on the radio down through these many years. All right? Now, number one, we see the place. Number two, the planting. Number three, I want to talk to you about the purpose that Titus was here at Crete, this little island of Crete. For this cause have I left thee in Crete. There is a purpose. Now, there's a purpose to the work of God. If there is not a purpose in what you're doing, then don't do it. Amen. Don't ever, you preachers, can I give you a little word of advice? And please don't get mad at me. But preachers don't like for me to preach to them. But let me tell you, don't preach somewhere just to, quote unquote, have a place to preach. Now, I've heard preachers say it along this line. Well, I'm not going, don't resign your church because you need somewhere to preach. Wait a minute. Listen, I pastored a little church and I love those people and they love me. And one day I was praying, I'd been praying for a while, and God told me, said, you need to leave that church. And man, I tell you what, I didn't want to leave. I cried, I prayed, I begged God not to let me leave. The people begged me not to leave. They didn't want me to anyway. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to, but God said to go. Now listen, if I'd have stayed at that church, I'd have hurt that church worse by staying there. Why? I refuse to be somewhere outside of the will of God. Amen. Now you say to me, preacher, if somebody came to you today and offered you a big church run to 1,000 people, would you take it? Not if God wasn't in it, I wouldn't. You say, preacher, what if they offered you $100,000 a year? Not if God ain't in it, I don't want it. I don't want no part of nothing God ain't in. Amen. I want to narrow it down a little bit. I don't even want to be on a radio station that God don't want me on. I'm honest. I want to do God's will. You know, Jesus was in the garden and he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember the words he said, not my will, but thine be done. And I tell you one thing, when we get to the place in our life where our will is God's will, we'll get something done. Amen? We'll get something done. Now I want you to notice the purpose. Let's go back to verse number 5, Titus chapter 1. He said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Now there were some things that were lacking, and Titus is supposed to set in order. Now let me just stop right here and say this. God has an order to his service. Now I was raised in the country. And I was raised back in the sticks and the hills where a lot of people said, well, now preacher, if God gets in it, and let me say this to you. I understand what they're saying. But I tell you what, a lot of people that I grew up around, they use this for excuse. Well, if God gets in it, you know, we have no order at all. Well, God's not like that. Now, wait a minute. I believe there are times that God gets into church service. And I believe there are times the preacher don't know what to do. I believe that. I've experienced that myself. But I believe there's an order. And I believe this. I believe our churches ought to be run decently in an order. Now, what you do in your church is your business. But I believe that a church, this is Ricky here, I guess. I might speak by permission if God would allow me. But I believe churches ought to have business meetings and let people know where the money's going. Amen. I mean, listen, the pastor is not the dictator over the money. No. That money ought to be spent wisely. The pastor, the deacon board, the congregation ought to agree. And it ought to be ran in order. And I'll tell you what's wrong with a lot of our churches. They're not run in order. And brother, we brought shame on the cause of Christ. But we must have an order. So here, there must be order in the church. Now, some folk don't like order in the church. They say, well, we believe open it up to everybody to sing on Sunday. Well, if you do that, that's up to you. But I don't think everybody ought to sing on Sunday. We have 400 people in our church on Sunday morning. I'm certainly glad our preacher don't get up and say, well, anybody's got a song, we'll let you sing this one. Son, we'd be there at midnight, amen? And somebody might fall out a window. No, not really. But hey, I mean, good night, amen? No, but there's got to be an order. So, and then he said this at the latter part of the verse, and ordain elders in every city as I have ordained thee. Now, I told you, I read somewhere that at one time they could have had 100 cities on this island, 135 mile wide, and 130 some mile wide and 35 mile long. Amen. But anyway, this little island here that God left him on. Now, he's going to ordain elders. What is that? That's preachers. Now, an elder in the Bible is a preacher. I want you to understand that. An elder in the Bible here at this time is a preacher. All right? And so, he's going to ordain men of God. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Amen? He's setting things in order, but he's going to ordain men of God. 145 mile wide and 35 mile long. I want to get that right. All right? So now, let me go back. Let me look at this now. We're going to ordain elders. We're going to ordain preachers. Now, I'm going to say some things, and I hope you don't get mad at me. But when you're ordaining preachers, everybody is not called to preach. And everybody that says they're called to preach is not called to preach. And everybody that says they're called to preach is not qualified to preach. Let me tell you again, you must meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter number 1. Now, I must meet them, you must meet them if we're going to preach. And you'll say, when I preach, you better be careful. Things could befall you. You're exactly right. But if I'm not qualified to preach, I'm not qualified to preach. Now, I'm going to read these qualifications to you. Titus chapter 1, verse number 6. If any be blameless. Now, that does not mean sinless, but it just means blameless. Amen. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, that trips up a lot of people. I think those two sentences right there take care of divorced and remarried preachers. Amen. Either you say, well, I've not been married twice, but my wife has. Well, you're not blameless. You've got a mark against you. Amen. God never is okay with divorce. And I'm not going to get into that today too deeply, but a lot of preachers take that out of context where we're talking about divorce in the Bible. Amen. They say, well, this man's got a right to divorce. I don't find anywhere in the Bible that God gives a man a right to divorce except for the cause of fornication. And that's not adultery. I know some of you ran that back in the Greek, but we got the English Bible. Amen. That's not adultery. That's fornication. That's an act between two unmarried people. Amen. And we go back to the Jewish law and the Jewish, the way they did things, the engagement, the espousal period, that's what he was talking about at that time. Amen. He wasn't talking about other things. But now here today, we have excused divorce so much. I'll just be honest with you, I've never seen God really prosper a man that goes against these qualifications. Amen. Now, I'm not mad at nobody. And by the way, there are good people today that have been divorced and remarried. And I want to say, you do the best you can. I've got some good people. I've got some good friends who've been divorced and remarried. I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them. You say, well, what about those that are trying to preach? I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them. No, sir. I'm not mad at anybody. No, sir. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. It could be me, but I have to live by the Bible. Amen. If any be the husband of one, well, blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children. Right there would disqualify a lot of preachers. Amen. Hey, if they're in your house, I don't care if they're a 25-year-old, if they're in your house, they need to be subject to you. Amen. Not accused of riot or unruly. Verse number 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, taking care of the work of God. The Bible said, not self-willed. That ruled out a lot of us. Amen. Not soon angry. Better be careful there. Not given to wine. That means the preacher ought not be drinking. No striker. We don't go around whipping people. Amen. Not given to filthy lucre. Now, the preacher not to be in it for money. That disqualifies a lot more preachers right there. Amen. We're not to be anything for money. You know, I think a lot of preachers in it for a job, for money. Amen. Listen, friend, I'm not serving God for filthy lucre's sake. No. God supplies my need, and I live by faith. It's up to God to pay my bills and supply my need. I go for Him. I've been living by faith for years. I started the ministry in 1999, Gospel Broadcasting Incorporated. Started with $700 in a coffee can. I never knew that me and my wife would live from this ministry and our livelihood would be from this ministry. Never knew that. But God blesses me in other ways. I thank God that He does. Sometimes I'll be somewhere in a restaurant. Somebody will pay for my meal. I never ask them to do that, but I'm not going to turn it down. If they do it, I let them be a blessing to me. Thank God that God sends people by to do that. And it's happened more times than I can count, brother, right now. Amen. God's been good to me. I thank God. He's been good to my wife, and I appreciate it. Verse number 8, he said, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, amen, sober, that means we ought to be thinking right, just, amen, holy, temperate, amen, self-control. Now notice this, verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word, the Bible said, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to convince, the Bible said, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now I want you to get a hold of something here. Paul is sending Titus to this little island, 145 mile wide, 35 mile long, to ordain elders in every city. Now listen to me, what I'm going to say. Paul did not cut corners about the elders. Paul didn't compromise. I say, well, if you find a good man over there, maybe he ain't exactly holy, but go ahead and put him in office. If you find a good man over there, maybe he has two or three wives, but go ahead and let him do it. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, now Titus, this is the standard right here. He used the Bible, the Word of God, as a standard. And I believe he got this from the abundance of revelations that God gave him from 2 Corinthians when he talked about how he went up to the third heaven, the book of Acts. He was stoned at Lystra and thrown outside the city. And I believe God gave him revelations for the church. Now, Paul did not cut corners. Let me say this to you about the qualifications of a preacher. And I did not preach an entire message on this coming here in the book of Titus at this time. I did not feel led of the Holy Ghost to do that. And I didn't even know what the Lord was going to do. And now God's put this in the 18th message that I'm preaching on this. But I want to say to you this, that we should not cheapen these qualifications of a preacher. I believe this applies to a preacher, evangelist, missionary. I believe it applies to all. Amen. I believe it applies. Amen. And I believe this. I believe that we've got to be careful here. I believe that if we cheapen the standards in our churches and we let down, then more standards will be let down. You remember the contemporary church, I call it. In the book of Kings, Jeroboam is an example of the contemporary church. Jeroboam came in and had a religious system. You remember the Passovers on the first month of the year on the 14th day. And I believe that Jeroboam's Passover might have been the second month of the 15th day. Anyway, I remember what month, but it was the 15th day. He changed God's orders. He changed it. And notice something that he did also as he changed Israel, the northern kingdom's religious system. When he changed their religious system, here's what he did. He made the lowest of them priest. The lowest. Now the Bible records that. Let me say this to you. We are not to go out here and get the least qualified men we can find and put them in the church. Now, some would say this. Well, if he says God's called him, I can't doubt him. Wait a minute. I'm not going to judge anybody. But I am going to stick with the standard of the Bible. Now, let me give you another thing to think about. God put standards on the widow. You remember that? Widows indeed. You remember the widows indeed? Now, do you think God's got a higher standard for a widow than he does a preacher? I'm just preaching the Bible to you, amen. I'm telling you what the Bible says about it, amen. Not what Brother Ricky said. Now, Paul has sent this young preacher in there, and he said, now, son, here's the, by the way, if we go in with the standard of the Bible, we can't lose, amen. Now, my standard is the Bible. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a legalist. I'm not on the radio. I don't hate anybody. I'm not on the radio to spread hate. I'm not on the radio to put people down. Can I just tell you, I've got men that listen to me, and they're trying to preach. They've been married more than one time. I've got men that listen to me. I know they listen to me. And do I hate those men? No. No, I don't hate those men at all. But I must preach the Bible. I must tell you what the standard is. Now, you say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, I still must tell you what the standard is. You see, well, I'm going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ for how I preach the Bible. Now, I never know exactly how the Holy Spirit's going to give me a message. I have a unique way, I guess, of preaching, a little bit different than other preachers. And I'm preaching in the book of Titus, just taking topics. I had no idea I was going to do 12 messages on sound doctrine. I didn't know. I'm following the Holy Ghost, just like the children of Israel followed the cloud in the wilderness. Amen. And whatever he leads. So now we see the place, and we see the planting, and we see the purpose. Now, number 4, I want you to notice something else. Number 4, and I'm going to spend some time here, I want you to notice the people. Now, I want you to notice that Titus didn't go over there to have a party. Titus on a little old island in the Mediterranean, 145 mile wide, 35 mile long. And he said, I want you to ordain preachers. By the way, God gave him a very tough job. Can you imagine some of those fellas kicked and screamed against those qualifications? But God said you do. By the way, God will never give you a job you can't do. Now, he may give you a tough job. He may give you a job that you don't want to do. And I remember one morning, I was filling in for this little church, and God told me something to say to the church that morning. I was studying, and I said, God, I don't want to say that this morning. I don't want to say that to these people. I don't want to say that. Lord said, I said, you say what I tell you to say. So I went to that church that day. They were without a pastor. And I said to them, I was preaching. I did it in a loving, kind way. I said to them, now, church, I said, this interim pastor stuff is good for a while, but it ain't going to get it. You need a pastor. By the way, every church needs a pastor. It is not God's will for a church to go 2 or 3 years without a preacher. I don't believe that while somebody's interim pastor. I don't believe that. Amen. I don't believe that. I believe God has a man for your church. Now, I know some churches can go through some rough times and they can get tangled up and preachers leave and it may take them a while to get a pastor. I understand situations like that. But I tell you what, as a general rule, and I'm saying there's exceptions to that, but as a general rule, I believe when one man leaves a church, God's got another man. Somebody asked Dr. Sir Harold Sattler many years ago. He said, Dr. Sattler, don't you think you need to pick your successor, somebody to come after you? And he said this to them. He said, God's got a man. And he said, he'll supply the man. And God did. Amen. And so here's the thing about that. Paul is sending Titus in here to do this now, into this place, and it's not a desirable place. And these people are not easy to get along with. I want you to read a little bit about the people that Paul is preaching to here now. Now, I picked this up in Titus chapter number 1, verse 10, if you got your Bible, Titus chapter 1, verse number 10. The Bible said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Now, let's just take that for a minute, all right? For there are many unruly. Now, Paul was dealing with some unruly people. Amen. By the way, there's some unruly people in the church. And unruly people, you can't deal with them. They make their own rules up. They go by their own stand. Listen, there used to be a time we were taught as young preachers to be submissive to the pastor. There were times we were taught to be submissive to the Bible preaching church in which we was a member of. And I've tried all down through the years to be submitted to every pastor that I've had. Some of my pastors told me things I didn't like. But I've tried. And by the way, if I can't obey the pastor, then that's when I'll have to find me a different church to go to. I'm not going to come to a church and openly defy the pastor. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take a pastor on. I'm not going to get on social media and say something bad about my preacher. I'm not going to do that. Amen. That's not God's will. That's not God's will. But he talked about these men were vain talkers. Now, I mean, there's some people, they could talk to you for an hour about religion, about the things of God. You don't bit more know where they started and when they stopped. Amen. Listen, I don't like vain talk. Do you? I don't like that. Amen. Some fellas are just proud. You ever ran into these fellas and they want to, they tell you, yeah, I preached on this last week. They'll give you their whole outline. I'm not interested in your outline. I'm sorry, I'm not being ugly, but I'm just not interested. I never tell anybody, well, I preached this last week. Right here was my outline. I don't do that. Amen. Why, listen, brother, I don't even tell my wife what I'm going to preach before I go to church most of the time. Amen. I'm very protective of my Bible. Amen. Very protective of my Bible. I keep my Bible with me. I keep my mouth shut. So the devil don't fight me so hard about what I'm going to preach. Amen. You say, well, I get to church and the Lord changed my message. Well, I don't think your message would be changed so much if you wouldn't talk about it. Amen. And just be quiet about it and get your thought. Most times the first thing God leads you to, that's the thing you ought to preach. Amen. Well, we go in there and he said in deceivers. Now, there's some that are deceiving. There's men today that have went away from the truth and they're deceiving people. Did you know that? By there, me and Dave, they're all over. Like, did you know religion is quite popular in America? Did you know the radio and the TV preachers? I got a letter the other day thanking me for not being on the radio begging for money. Listen, I'm not in your pocketbook. If you don't ever send me a dime of money, I still love you. I praise God for you. Amen. I mean, listen, I'm not on the radio for money. I'm on the radio to help you and to love you. By the way, to love all of you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you've preached to me in this message. Yeah, but I still love you. Oh, I want to love everybody. I want to help you. I want to love you. I'm not mad at nobody. No, sir. I don't ever want to preach in anger. No, sir. Amen. The Bible said again, be not soon angry. We read that. Now Titus 1:10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now you know who was given the most problem here? The Jews. These Jews, now these Jews had been up to Jerusalem and they had heard the words of Peter, and probably some of them believed, some of them came back and planted seed, and some of them didn't believe. Some of them came back. And I want to tell you, the devil's always got his crowd. And most of the time, the crowd the devil uses is a bunch of Pharisaical people that is religious. Did you know that? I don't have as much trouble out of the drunk and the sinner as I do some old Pharisee that is religious and no church is good enough for him. Amen. Well, preacher, we just stay at home and have our little thing on Sunday because, you know, we can't find a church. Well, hogwash and pickle juice, friend. Amen. You listen, there may be 100 things you don't agree with your church on, but go anyhow. Amen. Go to church anyhow. You're supposed to be in church. God never said have your little thing at home. No, sir, God's not in that. Somebody said, well, the man is the preacher over his home. No, you don't get that in the Bible. The man's not the preacher over his home. No, sir, no, sir. The preacher's the preacher down at church. The man's the leader of his home. Let's get everything in order now. Amen. Let's do it the Bible way. Amen. God ordained the local church. God ordained the pastor. God ordained the preacher. Amen. To preach to the people. Amen. That's right. Amen. God ordained the preacher. Amen. And so now here, Titus is responsible for maybe 100 preachers he's got ordained. Can you imagine that? Well, I wouldn't want to do 100 ordinations, would you? Good night. And Paul is saying now, Titus, here's the standard. Titus is responsible here for ordaining probably 100, or maybe 100 pastors. And he said, right, here's the standard you use for ordaining these men now. And when you get saved, when they get saved, you know, then when people get saved, they make good workers and then they can go do the work of God. But now he's dealing with these people. He's dealing with these Christians and he's dealing with this crowd of Jews that has rose up against the church. And the Jews followed Paul, trying to always get the people back under the law. By the way, the old Pharisaical crowd followed Jesus around. By the way, the old Pharisaical crowd will follow you around. Amen. I'm not going to answer criticism. I'm not going to debate the Bible. I'm not going to debate doctrines and issues. I don't do that. By the way, you young preachers, if you'd spend more time in prayer and studying your Bible and less time in debating, you'd be all right. Amen. Let me tell you something. Debating does not solve anything. It just don't. Amen. I've been challenged to debates before in my life. Amen. I sure have. Amen. And let me tell you something. I mean, debates don't get you anywhere. No, sir. Amen. I'm not. Well, what do you think about this? It don't matter a hill of beans what I think about it. What does the Bible think about it? What does God? Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the King James Bible. Let's get back to the English speaking Bible for the Bible for the English speaking people of our day. Amen. Let's preach the Word of God. Lester Roloff said, "The hour," he said, "it's too cold not to be bold." And it's too late to debate. Amen. There's things that's not ready for debate. Amen. There's things that's not up for debate. This Bible's not up for debate. Verse 11, Titus chapter 1. The Bible said, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. Why, these people were saying things that wasn't right. He said, now, Titus, I want you to go in there. Now, you're going to face these people. And this false doctrine's got to be stopped. I mean, they're subverting whole houses. They're hoodwinking whole houses. My brother, that's the way it is today. The religious crowd, amen, they'll do more harm than good. They've hoodwinked whole houses. I mean, people will tell you today they like positivity. They like the contemporary movement. They like that. You say, preacher, you have a lot to say about that, don't you? I do. Let me say this to you. I believe in the church. I'm not old-fashioned. I'm Bible. Amen. I understand what we're saying about old-fashioned and not move the old landmarks and all that. And so I guess in a sense I am old-fashioned. But I'm Bible. Old-fashioned really ain't got anything to do with it. Amen. I'm Bible. I'm right. The Bible's right. Amen. Let me tell you something. The church is right. The hymns, the songs, the preaching is right. What we preached 40 years ago is right. And we need somebody to preach that. Listen, the mouths of the people that are preaching false doctrine must be stopped. Now you say, well, everybody's got a right to free speech. Well, constitutional, yes, it guarantees you the right to free speech. But in the work of God, you've got no right to spread false doctrine. In the work of God, God's against that. God's against you. Amen. Now, so he said this. He said their mouths must be stopped. He said subverting whole houses. He said teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. He said they shouldn't be teaching what they're teaching. By the way, it's time some preacher just called it out like it is and said, hey, that's wrong. Let me just say this to you. If you have switched Bibles, it's wrong. If you've got the contemporary music in your church, it's wrong. If you've got the contemporary dress in your church, it's wrong. If you've got the dance team on Sunday morning, it's wrong. It's time we say, listen, they're teaching things they ought not be teaching. And we ought to stand up. Us fundamentalists shouldn't take a back seat. We're not recovering from anything. Listen, you say, but our kids will turn out and they'll hate the church. Hey, there's some young people that love God. There's some young people that's got some standards. Some young people got more standards than their parents do. Amen. That's right. Not every young preacher is a long-haired hippie, smoking cigarettes and peddling psychology and all this. Some of them love God. Some of our young men love God. Amen. Let me tell you something, brother. What we need in this hour is some men to tell the truth and do it in love. We need some Harold Sattlers and Dr. Oliver Greens again. We need that. We need some men of God that will explain the Bible and help people in love and show them what the Bible says. Amen. Now, these people, boy, Titus was sent to Crete, and he was sent here. He said they taught this stuff. They shouldn't be taught for filthy lucre's sake. Now, I'll tell you, take the money out of it, some of this false doctrine would collapse. Amen. Why, brother, listen, a man that is after your money is the meanest man in the world. Amen. Why, you take some of our fundamentalists, some of our preachers have fell into it for money. They sure have. You take the money out of it and you see what happens. Amen. I want to tell you something, brother. Listen, we have to maintain, as a preacher, the attitude that money means nothing to us. I can't get used to money. Now, if God blesses me, that's wonderful. But I want to say this. The day God blesses me and the day I get fat in my life is the most dangerous position I'll ever be in. It's sort of like the man gave the prophecy in the book of Proverbs. Amen. Don't give me great riches, lest I forget God. Don't make me poor, lest I steal. Amen. Just give me a mediocre life. Give me neither riches nor poverty. Amen. I don't want God to bless me so fat that I forget who He is. No, sir. And I don't ever want to get so much money preaching that it blinds my delivery. Amen. Some people say, well, I'd say this, but if I do, they'll cut me out of preaching over there, and I won't get any money. I don't want that. You know what? I've decided God will support the ministry. Amen. Listen, friend, I just preach the Word of God. God sends people by. I've had people to tell me, old preacher, we're going to quit supporting the ministry. We'll not support it any longer. And you know what God does? God just raised somebody else up and they give more than that guy gave. Amen. So now these people were preaching for money. In verse number 12, now listen what he said. He said, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, and Paul quoted from this prophet here that lived back in the, I believe, 600 B.C. He said, the Cretans are always liars. All right, let me just take that right there. He said they're liars. I mean, Titus is going to an island 145 mile wide, 35 mile long, where you got people over there teaching false doctrine. They're a bunch of liars. That's what they are. Now, I don't like somebody to lie to me. Do you? And that's why we should never lie to the Lord. If we tell the Lord we're going to do something, we ought to do it. Amen? But anyway, let me say this to you. We should stand for God. Amen? But these people were liars. And then he said, evil beast. These men were cruel. Why, brother, the cruelest man in the world is a man that's preaching false doctrine to you. Did you know that? Why, brother, the meanest man in the world is not a man down in jail who's committed murder. The meanest man in the world is not a man down in jail that's committed rape. The meanest man in the world is not a man down in jail that stole money. I tell you, the meanest man in the world is a man that'll teach you false doctrine. A man that knowingly will corrupt your mind and teach you false doctrine. That man is wicked. He's the meanest man in the world. Amen. He's an evil beast. And that's what Paul called these people. Amen. He said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Well, basically that meant they were a bunch of fat people that ate all the time. And their appearance looked slouchy and sloppy. And they just went around their big bellies sticking out all the time. That's what it looked. By the way, did you know that? That's a sign of the contemporary movement. Come as you are. Dress the way you want to. Look sloppy. Look like you just got out of bed. I mean, you know, listen, amen. While you're listening to a preacher, I don't believe in pajama day. I don't believe in wearing clothes like that to school or anywhere else or church or anywhere else. Amen. You can call it what you will, but it's time somebody said something about all that stuff. Amen. Listen, brother, a man used to, he came in for a job. He had a haircut and he looked right. And don't give me that stuff, but Jesus had a beard. Yeah, but he didn't look like some weird fella. Amen. That jumped out of a can somewhere Amen. That's right. I mean, listen, folk, there used to be a time little boys were taught from a young age to tuck the shirt tails in, look neat and look nice. Amen. Nowadays, people even on the job, people in professional positions, they don't dress like professionals. Oh, you say, preacher, that's just the time we're living in. Well, you're telling me. But I want you to know something. Paul condemned this. Paul condemned the way they even looked. He said they were slow bellies. He condemned that. Amen. Overeating and no temperance, no self-control. Paul condemned that. Amen. Now, you know, you say, well, preacher, the Bible, if we just preach the Bible, we won't be condemning people. Well, that's wrong. Amen. There is some condemnation. God has his man stand against a few things. Amen. That's right. Now, Titus, I'm going to probably end the message with this number five. Now, again, I believe we ought to preach in love, but I talked about the place, and I talked about the planting, and I talked about the purpose, and I talked about the people. Boy, this wasn't easy people to preach to. A bunch of liars and slow bellies and evil beast and deceivers and unruly and vain talkers. I mean, boy, how would you like God put you somewhere like that? Boy, and I tell you right now, you say, preacher, no, I want to go somewhere where I can have 100 saved every service. Well, I don't think he did that. And yet he's supposed to ordain probably maybe 100 preachers out of all this. Amen. I mean, Titus had his work cut out for him. By the way, any work of God is just that. It's work. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, over at our place, the devil really ain't bothering me. Well, you must not be doing a whole lot for God. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. Amen. That demon in the book of Acts, he said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. He said, but who are you? Amen. My brother, the devils of hell, do they even know you by name? Well, number five, I want to talk about the preaching for a minute. Now, this is what Paul said in verse number 13. He said, this witness is true. In other words, there's no doubt that these Christians are living the way that they said they were. He said, wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Rebuke them sharply. That word means severely. Now, somebody said, well, I don't like that rebuking preaching. Now, wait a minute. I've said this on the radio many times, and I'll say it here again. I don't like mean preaching. I don't like people to throw slurs at people and call people names and all this pulpit cussing and all that. I don't agree with that. And it's not godly, it's not biblical, and we should never preach that way. But let me say to you, we should rebuke sin sharply. And there is no place for sin in our churches. There's no place for sin in our lives. Amen. And the problem today is our people that go to church have not heard a real good message rebuking sin. Amen. Well, preaching, we're supposed to love everybody. Well, you going to show me that in the Bible? Along with rebuking sharply, there's a balance. Yes, I'm supposed to love everybody. But let me tell you something, love ain't got anything to do with it. You know, people have a warped sense of love today. Let me tell you something, you rebuke somebody because you do love them. A preacher that will not rebuke his congregation does not love them. I'm just going to tell you that right now. A preacher that will never rebuke his congregation, he does not love them. I'm not talking about going in and fussing people out and calling people by names. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to give you this. A mama and daddy that never rebukes their child does not love their child. Oh, a preacher, I don't ever rebuke my child. I don't ever talk harsh to it. I don't ever say anything about what they're doing. You don't love that child. Now, the Bible says that. I didn't say it. Amen. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen. There are times that things need to be rebuked from the pulpit. I've even had it said to me, well, you shouldn't get on the radio and rebuke people, basically. You shouldn't get her on the radio and say anything bad or negative that would go against the church. Well, wait just a minute. I'm for the church. I've given my life to the church. I serve through my church. I thank God for my church. I pay my tithes and offerings to my church. But let me tell you something today, amen. There is some negativity sometimes. And there are things that we have to say sometimes. There's things I don't want to say. There are things I don't like to say. I don't want to say them. But I have to say something. Paul said, rebuke them sharply. He said, these people that are deceiving, these that are unruly, these that are evil beasts, these that are cruel about it, rebuke them. So sometimes I've got to rebuke the false doctrine of our day. And we've got it even in our day. We've got men that used to believe the Word of God. They used to preach the Word of God. And money's come their way. Popularity's come their way. Social media's come their way. And they've compromised. I'm to rebuke that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not God's gift to rebuking, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm to do what God tells me to do. And by the way, I think a preacher ought to only rebuke things when God tells him to. I don't think a preacher ought to take it upon himself. Amen. I believe you better be careful. I did some rebuking one time, one Sunday morning when I was pastoring, and I reaped the consequences for it. It was out of the spirit. I got mad about something one Sunday morning. The more I thought about it, the more upset I got. I got to church and worked that thing into my message, and I lost some people over it, and they never did come back to church again. And I want to tell you something. You can ruin a church like that. You got to be careful. Stay in the Bible. Preach the Bible. It's probably a good idea, and I don't know because I'm not pastoring right now, so I don't know. But I used to didn't know if I could do this or not, but it might be a good idea to preach a series of sermons in the church and keep it that way, and that way it keeps you from wandering off and rebuking people all the time for things that God's not ready to rebuke them for. You know, you talk about sowing the seed. There's a time to rebuke people. There's a time not to rebuke people. Amen. And the preacher's got to be wise in that, or he said rebuke them sharply. I want to read that verse to you again. The Bible said in Titus 1:13, he said, "This witness is true." Now, by the way, you should never rebuke anybody until you know the truth of it. Amen. Paul used God's example of a record and a witness. And then when he did it, he said, "Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Now, wait a minute. What's the rebuking do? The rebuking has a purpose. You don't just rebuke people to rebuke them. You rebuke people so they'll get right with God. All right? Now, I was raised and fell into some preaching when I was young, and I thought, man, you're just supposed to rebuke people. And I didn't understand why you rebuked them. Nothing was ever said about, well, will they get right? Of course you want people to get right, right? I mean, Jonah goes down in the thing about Jonah. Jonah goes down there. Jonah's a Jew. God called him down there to that bunch of heathens. He didn't want to go down there. And I mean, listen, he refused to go, so he goes down the ship, and they throw him out in the ocean, and a whale comes by and swallows him up. He spent 3 days and three nights in an old whale's belly, went down to the bottom of the ocean, didn't think he'd ever see God again, prayed that prayer in Jonah 2 and Jonah 3. The whale got sick and vomited him out. You say, well, what about that preacher? Well, if you had a Baptist preacher in your belly, you'd vomit too, amen? And vomit him out on dry ground. Here goes Jonah. And God said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The Bible said the second time, he said, "Go and preach the preaching that I bid thee." The preaching never changed. The preaching never changed. And Jonah goes down there and preaches to them yet 40 days, and God's going to destroy the city. I mean, Jonah's preaching fire, and he's preaching judgment to them, and yet they got right with God. Jonah had the greatest revival in history. Never hear. And you know what? Jonah got mad because he had revival. Why, brother, God help any preacher get mad because people gets right. If I rebuke you here on the radio, I'd love nothing better from a letter from you and say, "Preacher, you know, I was listening to you and I believed something and you preached something out of the Bible. It changed my mind. I began to study it and I see what God's saying now." Oh, those kind of letters I love. You see, I want you to get right with God. I don't want to pick a fight with you. No, I don't want to have an ongoing fight, sermon after sermon, week after week, day after day on the radio. No, I'm not in it for that. No. We in America are too much in a fighting spirit. And this social media and 24-hour-day news has put us in a fighting spirit. We're too much in a fighting spirit. Amen. We ought to love each other. And we ought to realize, amen, when a man rebukes you, if he's doing it from the Bible, he does it because he loves you, you see. I love you all. Well, Paul, he said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete." Preacher, do you wonder why you're where you are? I'm on a missions internet station. I preach twice a day on this internet station. It's a missions radio station. No doubt some of their missionaries tune into that. And I might be talking to some missionary today. Boy, you're discouraged where you are. Boy, you can't write a letter every month. You've had 50 saved. But I want to ask you a question, sir. Are you planting the seed? I mean, they may be a bunch of slow bellies where you are. They may be a bunch of liars. They may be a bunch of evil beasts where you are. Paul said at Ephesus he fit with beasts. I believe he fit with the very devil. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you something, fella. Did God put you where you are? I know where there's an old missionary left Wilkes County about 50 years ago where I grew up. He left that, and you know what he did? He stayed on the mission field all those years. And that man died, and he did not come home. He was buried on the mission field. I thank God for men like that. Amen. Listen, listen. Stay where God's put you and bloom where you're planted, and God will bring it to pass. The Bible said, "And be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we Well, I didn't quote it just right. Boy, the devil don't like that. Amen. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap and not faint." Amen. In other words, if we don't faint, we're going to reap. Now, many people faint before reaping time. Many people just won't wait. A lot of preachers don't wait. They put their church and they say, "Well, if I don't see something happen, I'm gone. Or if something don't happen here on the mission field, I'm gone." and then somebody will offer them a church back home. It looks a whole lot easier. Let me tell you something. The devil's always got an easier way out for you. The easiest way out is not always the best way. I had a lady help me in school. Great godly lady. And she's in heaven now. But she said to me one day, Ricky, she said, you know what your problem is? She said, you try to take a shortcut in everything. And boy, that stuck with me. I don't want to take a shortcut in God's work, because I'd like to be able to stand at the end of the way. And I don't think it's going to be possible for me to say this, but I'd like to stand with the Apostle Paul and say, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'd love to be able to do that. That finishing your course part, I want to do everything God has laid on my heart to do. Amen. I close. Amen. I close today. Let's read our text verse one more time. Listen, you may be on the island of Crete, not literally, but figuratively you may be. Your mission field may be the island of Crete. It may be pretty tough, but remember what God said. He said this in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete. There was a purpose. There was a reason that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. In other words, Titus, we've already discussed this before. I've already told you what I needed done. Now God's told you what He needs done. You may be a hard field, but you said, preacher's wife, you may be thinking about leaving yourself. You say, boy, I tell you, it's such a hard field. Stay with your husband. Stay right there. Reaping day will come. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for taking time to listen to me preach the Word of God. Father, I'm not a good preacher, but I thank you for letting me try. And I pray that this message has helped somebody today. Use it for your glory. Save the sinner that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.